Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we bow before you, just thanking you for this opportunity to gather together and to feast on your word, and guide us this morning as we look at Psalm 40. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 40. Maybe one of your favorite psalms. I was just thinking as I read this, if you wanted to find the summary of the greatest goal of any psychologist or psychiatrist or anybody to straighten a person's life out, they'd never come close to this psalm. I guess you could say that about any psalm. But this is a messianic psalm, and it's faith persevering in trial. And it's so appropriate for every single one of us, because every single one of us are his child. Every single one of the 8 billion people on that world could be his child if they would receive him. And we all have trials. And we all sometimes doubt where he is. And we often have in our trials, we go back like to the first grade. Oh, this is terrible. Oh, this is so bad. And we forget about all of the past deliverances he has given us. So don't go back to the first grade when you have a big trial. Go back to what he's done for you. You're still here, right? How many of those past trials did you think you wouldn't make? Well, you're here. He made them all. And when you're not here, you're going to be with him, which is even better. So, you know. But Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us, toward me, cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. Burnt offerings and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll or volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. And your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. O Lord, you yourself know, I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Father, as we look at your precious word, we see it speaking to us in so many different ways. And help us to glean this morning what you would have us to take out of here. Maybe reinforcing what we brought in or reminding us. And Lord, maybe in some cases even putting some new emphases on things in our lives, Lord. All that we would be glorifying you and magnifying your name, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Just one quick question here. Verse 16 says, let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. When's the last time you said, let the Lord be magnified? I haven't said it for quite a while, and I'm supposed to be saying it continually. So that's one thing that I spoke to me out of this among many, but let his name be magnified. I wanted to just sing this old Maranatha song, I Waited on the Lord. It doesn't exactly fit, but it does fit. It's from here. I waited on the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. So it left out this one clause in there. But nevertheless, let's sing it because we know it and we love to sing praising him, right? What a beautiful sight. I peeked and looked at you singing. It was a beautiful sight. I know the Lord would agree with that, to hear his children singing and praising him. Well, Psalm 40, as you know, is a messianic psalm. And it's a psalm which ties in David's trials in the present time, looking backward and looking forward. And that fits all of us. It begins, "I waited patiently." In the Hebrew, that's basically hoping and having complete hope. He's hoping with complete hope. He's not just waiting, wondering whether the Lord is going to answer or not, but he's waiting patiently. He wants, you know, we always want the Lord to quicken, don't we? Hurry up, Lord, hurry up. Answer my prayer, you know? And then when he says, well, here's what I want you to do, I got to pray about it, you know, and 2 weeks later, you're still praying about it and you haven't done anything, right? Now, that wouldn't fit you, but it fits me. I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined to me. He tended to hear me. He inclined to me and heard my cry. Now, these first 10 verses generally will be looking backward, and the last ones then will be looking to the present and in some cases forward. He heard my cry, verse 2. Think of this. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit that is identified with noise and tumult, out of the miry clay. Miry clay. Now, it's hard enough to get out of mud, but it's really hard to get out of clay. If you remember, those of you who were in on the Jeremiah study, and even whether you're in the study or not, you've read it and know about it, but when he got thrown in the pit, and we're told in Josephus that it is up to his neck in this mire. And of course, to get him out, they, you know, I don't know how many men it took to pull him out, but they, you know, they put the rags down and got under his arm so he wouldn't cut him all to pieces with the ropes. And then they pull him up out of there. Can you imagine the power it would take to pull a body out of a miry clay up to his... But how about you? How about me in our past as we look at some of our sin? And, you know, we get calls today, don't we, from friends who are still in bondage to different sins. They just can't get out of that miry clay. They get out of it for a while, and they fall back into it again. But as we look back, out of the miry clay, and what? He set our feet upon a rock, established our steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. That means basically a song that's never been sung before. And I think David has like 7 new songs in the Psalms. I think this is number 4. But here's the new song, basically. Praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. He's talking now about the grace and the victory over sin. It's not just like Miriam with the tambourines was great, and some of the other songs in the Bible are great. But that's nothing. The victory there was nothing compared to this victory that you have in him, right? Because here it's all done since Christ. Right before Christ's time, they could only look forward to the Messiah. When you died, you went to Sheol. You didn't go to heaven. Couldn't go to heaven because your sin wasn't paid. But here we have this victory here that David is looking forward to. It hasn't happened yet, but he knows it's coming because this is a messianic psalm. Blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn to lies. We need to keep our eyes on him and not on the Jeff Bezos and the other of the world that are so successful, the Elon Musks and so forth. Oh, if I just had $200 billion, wouldn't that be great? Forget it. But not keeping your eyes on the proud and on those who tell lies. Many, O Lord, my God... I like the emphasis on my. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works. Exclamation point I put down. Just think of his wonderful works. Just think of that. Which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Now think of that. How many people are on the face of the earth? About 8 billion. How big is your God? How big is my God? He's has unnumbered thoughts toward each one of them. You think he can remember you? His thoughts are unnumbered toward us. Well, he's not remembering me. I wouldn't be in this mess if he was remembering me. that's kind of where we go at times, don't we? Now he's going to look forward and really show us his love here. This is totally speaking toward Christ's coming, I believe, in verse 6, 7, and 8. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll or volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Now, to get a commentary on that, we just go back to the book of Hebrews and read what I believe the Apostle Paul, anyway, it's the Holy Spirit, said here in verse 5. This is talking about Christ's death fulfilling God's will. Therefore, when he came into the world, Jesus Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice, exactly where we are here in Psalm 40, verses 6 to 8. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but he's pointing to what? A body which you have prepared for me. He's pointing to his coming Messiah. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. It's a body you have prepared for me, coming into the world as a man. In burnt offering and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. He's looking back now to the Old Testament. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, what? To do your will, O God. That's God's will for the Messiah to come. Previously saying sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I've come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first covenant that he may establish the second covenant. By that will we have been sanctified or set apart. We have been set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hallelujah. May the Lord be magnified.
Yes.
So when you think, well, if God loved me, he would let me have that new car. Or if God really loved me, he wouldn't have me having COVID right now. Or if God really loved me, the relationship I have with this other person who I can't stand, he wouldn't put that person in my life if he really loved me, right? And we're thinking about, the level of a mouse and his love up here on what he has done for us on the cross. And think about the love of the Father again, just reminded of that. Here is the Father. Those of you who have children can relate, maybe all of us can relate, but if you had the power to solve your child's greatest tragedy of their lives, it would be one thing. God had that power when Jesus was being treated by the mob, beard pulled out, thorns driven into his skull, and beaten beyond recognition. And here's the Father watching all of that, and all he had to do is decide enough's enough. But the love that was there for you, the love that was there for me, what Jesus did for us is unbelievable. That's the love that we want to keep in mind when we're in these trials. Well, I had a little trouble with my car this morning, Lord. It's just a cross I've got to bear today, I guess. We're not talking about that. We're talking about his love for you that transcends. And even in the final stages of life, we got to remember those tough times of the body's breaking down, it's going to be in pain and all of that. What's ahead? What's ahead? Not today, but our bodies are all kind of programmed for today, right? I want a 7-minute hamburger. Or not only 7 minutes, 7-second hamburger, I guess it is now. I don't want to wait, but here is his love, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ear you have opened. Now there's another lesson there. Of course, that was in the old days when the Hebrews were slaves. Every 6 years, that's the longest they could be a slave. The seventh year, they had to be let go free. But if they didn't want to go free, then they would tell their master, I don't want to go free. I want to stay with you. He'd go to the doorpost and they'd puncture a hole in the ear and put a gold earring in. that was the indication that you were willingly committing to be a slave for life. And you say, well, how could anybody do that? That is just not very smart. Well, I trust every one of us have committed to Jesus Christ as his slave for life, have we not? Forever? So this is what that's pointing to here. He has opened my ears, you have opened. And I think that fits all of us. We don't open our ears to him. He opens them. But my ears you have opened. And verse 9, now, how true is this? I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Same thing we read in Psalm 22. Indeed, I do not hold back or restrain my lips. When's the last time you restrained your lips from proclaiming what the Holy Spirit had for you to proclaim? I do not restrain my lips, O Lord, you yourself know. Yes, he does. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. Have I? I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. Have I done that? I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth. Oh, my, I would pray our lives would just be oozing with the demonstration and the awareness of his loving kindness and his truth preserving us in our lives. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth. And then verse 11, looking forward and backward now, but really kind of the present. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me. It's tender mercies here. Many translations just said, don't hold your mercy from me. I'm reading some of the modern translations and all, and they're pretty accurate, I believe, on the language. But they miss a lot of what I think is really here. You can translate this word mercy, or in the context, you can talk about his tender mercies. Which do you like better? Well, I like his tender mercies better than just his mercy. And then your loving kindness, I really like that better than just your love. So where it says, let your love, here it's let your loving kindness. So I like loving kindness. Maybe that's because I'm familiar with it. But these words are just so great. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me, for innumerable evils have surrounded me. Really, I thought I was the only one that had all those problems, you know. But David says, innumerable evils have surrounded me. This is not the first trial I'm going through. So remember that. Whatever's crushing you today, don't treat it as the first time it's ever happened to you. But you've had so many trials even up till this point. And has he not been faithful to you? Absolutely. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I'm not able to look up. Yes, we are sinners, aren't we? They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. There's no righteousness within any of us that amounts to anything apart from him, really. And now the prayer for protection. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. Now, that particular mocking phrase was really something that is, when used, it's only in great derision. Someone says, aha, aha, not, oh, how wonderful this is. Oh, you know, how bad that is. So people will mock you. How bad it is, you're such an idiot that you're relying on the Lord, you know. You think the Lord's going to protect you in this? You got to get worried like I'm worried. No. Who say to me, aha, aha, the mocking of a person's faith in God. Verse 16, let all those who seek you rejoice. Are you rejoicing? And be glad. Are you glad to be in him? Let such as love your salvation say continually or without stopping or see unceasingly, the Lord be magnified. The Lord be magnified. So that's something that we should be saying. So I always say, may God bless you. I think I'm going to start saying, may the Lord be magnified. Again, some of the modern translations just say the Lord be great. Well, saying great is great. That's how you can translate this word. It's gadol. It means big. It means great. But I like magnified because magnified means to me to be expanding, right? Great is big. But magnifying through my life, may he be magnified in a greater way today than he was yesterday and ongoing, right? So may the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. In verse 5, remember we were there just a little bit ago, in verse 5 said, many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. So this is where he is right at the end. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay. Oh, my God. Father, we could spend a week on this psalm or more. But Lord, help us. And here we are today gathered to pray. And with this backdrop of your faithfulness and this backdrop of your power that you have allowed us to participate in and to offer prayers to you, which will last an eternity, help us to be led by your Spirit. We know if we're praying in accordance with your will, they will be answered. You want to do what you prompt us to pray, if led by the Spirit. And so lead us now, in Jesus' name. Father, we do thank you for meeting us here, always meeting us here. We stand in agreement. And Lord, help us to magnify your name. I just want to close here with Christ be magnified. The words are on the fourth page. O Christ be magnified, let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. O Christ be magnified from what? The altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me. Let us sing together.
We're creation, suddenly articulate, with a thousand tongues to lift one cry, then from north to south. And east to west, we hear Christ be magnified. We're the whole earth echoing his eminence, his name.
Father, that is our prayer, that you would be magnified in us, Lord. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray.